What sort of questions did you get or concerns did you get from audience members?
You know, it was the questions from the public as well as questions individually afterwards. But I got a number of questions from the public on healthcare issues, on what we can do to lower the cost of healthcare. So I talked about what we will do as far as we will accept the expanded Medicaid. We will accept various grants that are available to from the federal government to lower the cost of healthcare in Alaska. So the exciting thing for us is we don't have to adopt a party platform one way or the other. We're just going to do what's best for Alaska. And the best for Alaska, we believe, is to accept the expanded Medicaid, which we've already paid for.
And what is your answer to the charge that it's only going to be subsidized for 2 years by the federal government, and after that it's going to cost us more?
Well, it's 3 years, and it's paid 100% by the federal government. At that point, then we'll make a decision. But to say no to someone who can't, no, you can't have health care because at some point we might have to pay for it. I mean, and yet it's going to be free for 3 years. I can't bring myself to say that to somebody. Sit back. I mean, we could say the same thing on funding for transportation projects. Some of our transportation projects are 2 or 3 years of funding, but we don't say no to that. So I don't know what the difference is. It's a political party philosophy, and that's wrong.
And I was hoping that you could address the combined ticket.
Yes.
And also the court challenge to it. One of the arguments is that it disenfranchises Democrats. Can you address that?
Sure. The combined ticket is something that developed over the campaign in some respects. It's partly because you spend a year traveling with somebody, you kind of get to know them. And Byron and I went to Nome together, gambled together. We didn't gamble together. We went to gamble on St. Lawrence Island. Don't want that rumor out there. So, you know, we traveled the state and we sat next to each other and answered questions, gave our presentations, and kind of looked over each other like, we're kind of saying the same thing. And we were getting tremendous pressure around the state. We were in Nome at the Alaska Municipal League, and after we spoke, a line of people stood in front of Byron and a line of people stood in front of me, and they all said the same thing. Can't you guys get something to work out? And come on, it's a combined ticket. You guys would be phenomenal. So, and we also, there was the last fair we did, we tried to do all the fairs all over the state. The last fair we did was in Palmer, and we had a booth there. And it was, we finally had a little sign-up sheet. People would come in and put marks about how many people wanted us to combine, how much not. It was like 52-1 was the ratio.
And you don't believe that it disenfranchises voters at all?
I don't. Here's why. And actually, Byron's much better at that than I am, as far as explaining that. You know, the Central Committee, they had to vote statewide, and the vote was 89-2. And the message that they had was, I mean, it was clear that the two messages were very clear from the polling. Not one poll, a sea of polls out there that said the same, all that said the same thing. The state wanted a new governor. It was clear that his approval rating was pretty low. The state wanted, majority of Alaskans wanted a new governor. But the polling also showed that in a three-way race, they weren't going to get a new governor, and it was just going to be a reseating of the same. So the decision was, do we stay in our own lanes and end up with the same governor for another year, another 4 years, which make it 10 years under this administration, or do we do something to change that? So that's why Byron would not do it, obviously, without the party blessing, and he wanted the party's blessing and the party's support, and he received both of those, and it wasn't a... 49-51% deal. It was 89-2 was the vote. And so the what I picked up, and I wasn't part of any of that, obviously, but what I picked up is they want change. They want a new administration, and they can be part of the change, the new administration, or partly responsible for us having the same administration.
How would you answer someone who has strong liberal social values and is wondering who to vote for?
Well, maybe I should explain why I'm not running for governor. I'm not running for governor to address the social issues. What I will follow the law. The right to an abortion is the right to choice. A woman's choice is the law today. And I'm not going to introduce legislation to change that. That's not on my radar screen. I do have my conservative values on that, and those are my conservative values. But that's not what's causing me to run for governor. So what I can control is what I'll do. I will not be introducing any legislation that impact that. Now, I can't control what the legislature does. I cannot do that. So that if they bring up a piece of legislation across my, it comes across my desk that they pass, and again, I'm following, you know, a whole lineage of Republican administrations, Republican legislatures. So I think if whatever they're going to turn on the dial in that area, they probably have already done that. But we have to be prepared for that. It's kind of like the airlines in the unlikely event of a water landing kind of thing. Here's the process I'll use. I'll read the legislation. I'll consult my attorney general to determine if we believe it's constitutional, what's been passed. Number three, I'll consult with my lieutenant governor, Byron Mallott, and I'll consult with folks on both sides of the issue. Typically, there are both sides of any legislation. I'll listen equal time to both, have an open-door policy on that. Then I'll consult with my lieutenant governor once more, and I'll make the decision. I'll make the decision myself. But it's after all that I can guarantee a process. I can't guarantee a result. That's exactly the process I'll use on all legislation, quite honestly. I really want to be the more inclusive, governor administration than exclusive. And we've had way too much inclusiveness. Or exclusiveness, I'm sorry.
This topic came up yesterday regarding the Ketchikan-Gateway Borough's lawsuit against the state, and you mentioned that you support the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you became governor, how would you fix education funding in the state?
Well, I'd start by sitting down with local governments and listening to them, because this is filed somewhat out of frustration of their efforts to get the attention of the state. And there's some technical issues in that litigation. I think that they've got some good points about as far as dedication of revenues and those kinds of things. The concern, I believe, is that what they do as far as education on the local contribution, they could also say the same thing on judges' pay, on troopers, on other things, to say the local contribution is going to be this for your local judicial system, your local state police. I think that's part of the concern as well. It comes from a lack of communication.